If you've found that this election is increasing your anxiety, that may be more than a sign of the times. It could be the result of a conscious political strategy to scare you into a point of view. Our Lisa Desjardins reports on the use of fear in the 2020 campaign.
Beneath the 2020 fight, an aggressive undercurrent.
No one will be safe in Biden's America.
Fear. Used especially by President Donald Trump, making alarmist, extreme claims.
No city, town, or suburb will be safe.
It's tremendous violence.
If you want to save democracy from the mob, then you must vote.
But the president is not alone.
I remember seeing those neo-Nazis and Klansmen and white supremacists coming out of fields with lighted torches, veins bulging, spewing.
There is near pervasive talk of threats to your community, your race, to you.
What does all this use of fear do? What does it mean to voters? We asked on social media and thousands of people responded. They surprised us with the intensity of their fears related to this election.
I'm concerned that my neighborhood would be targeted or my town would be targeted.
I'm a breast cancer survivor, so pre-existing condition coverage is a huge deal for me.
No matter who wins between, you know, whoever gets the election, gets the nomination, the other side's just going to be mad and, you know, just express that anger in very violent ways.
And we might get to a point where they just can't function at all, you know, and it just the whole system comes crashing down.
I fear a lot. I fear for the future of my kids.
These fears are not being expressed in a vacuum.
Lights out.
It is happening amid fear-based campaigning, including ads like this one supporting President Trump that tells voters they will not be safe.
Cuts to police.
I think it is fair to say that this election, it's truly spectacular the extent to which politicians are making fear-based messages. And when I say politicians, I of course mean Donald Trump.
Dan Gardner is the author of Risk, The Science and Politics of Fear. He says both presidential campaigns are using fear, former Vice President Joe Biden focusing on fear of Mr. Trump. But Gardner says it is the president who is using the tactic the most, including implied fears of other races and people not like you, like in July when he spoke of low-income housing.
Your home will go down in value and crime rates will rapidly rise. Suburbia will be no longer as we know it.
In truth, times are good in most U.S. suburbs with years of income growth and safety. But Gardner says fear can override the reality because it works on a primal level.
We're hardwired to give priority to information about threats. We will always prioritize negative information. So we'll notice it first, we'll remember it longer, and it will be more influential in our subsequent decision-making than will other information.
Gardner says scary ads or speeches are affecting you, even if you think they aren't.
So when you see a political ad and they show you images of a stranger at the door going to knock it in and do God knows what to the innocent person inside, it's going to convince a part of your brain that there is a real threat. But they tend to think that their thinking, uniquely among all human beings, isn't influenced by those biases.
So in other words, people believe that everyone else is at risk for being manipulated by fear, but they don't believe that they are.
Exactly.
The fear-based ads are many, like this one from Biden's campaign.
If Donald Trump gets rid of our healthcare law, my son won't be protected.
And this from President Trump's campaign.
You have reached the 911 police emergency line. Due to defunding of the police department, we're sorry, but no one is here to take your call.
To some, ads like that about a world where police have no funding are manipulative and false. But to others, they are important and effective.
It was just on target and one of the best ads I've seen in a long time.
Kim Alfano is a Republican strategist and ad maker. She says that Trump campaign ad really resonated with her. That, of course, campaigns use fear. For them, it's a powerful tool to point out what could be ahead.
The fear is bound to happen because that's the way we talk these days. And it's ugly and it's awful and I wish we didn't, but we do. And, you know, my job and anybody in politics' job is we believe that we need to win the race because it's what's good for the country, you know, or else we wouldn't do what we do. I think it's our job to expose the stakes And if that means exposing the fears, then yes, we absolutely have to do that.
But what does fear do to voters? It can raise passion, but it also can numb people, overload them, and it can depress emotions and turnout.
New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio.
The scale and intensity may be new.
Biden will turn Minnesota into a refugee camp.
But this use of fear is not. During the Great Depression, President Franklin Delano Roosevelt famously rallied the country, not by using fear, but by naming it as the enemy.
That the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
This brings us back to 2020. What do voters do with all this fear? Those we spoke with called it out. They say they know campaigns are trying to manipulate them, but that is stoking other emotions.
It makes me angry because it makes me feel like they think we're stupid. You know, like we know that's not what it's going to be like if, you know, Biden becomes president or, you know, the streets aren't going to be on fire.
It makes me distrust them even more.
That's a big turnoff for me. Huge turnoff. I think that instead of focusing on solutions, they're just focusing on the problem.
The 2020 race for the White House is about America's problems, but it's also about the politics of fear. For the PBS NewsHour, I'm Lisa Desjardins.